we shared along these lines last week, the thought or the theme of the message is take no thought. Take no thought. Matthew 6, verse 25, the Bible talks about Jesus said, take no thought. In verse 34, actually, he said, take no thought about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I've been asked the question over the last couple of weeks, what's happening? What's going on? What's going to happen daily? How are we going to make it through things? How will I take care of my family? What's the economy going to be like when this thing is all shaken down? And where is God in all this? And I want you to know that the Lord has not left you, and he hasn't forsaken you. He is still with you. But Jesus said, don't take thought about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to put on, what you're going to clothe yourself with. He said, don't even take thought about any of those things. In other words, don't take a mental anxiety, or don't take on care, or don't take on trouble. Don't pick those things up, because there are a lot of thoughts in our world today. Folks, there's a lot of voices in the world today that you could hear and listen to. And if all you're listening to is the media and the political things that are going on, then your mind's going to be filled with all the worldly stuff. We've got to go back to the Word of God and take the thoughts of God. Pick up what God says and think what God says. The thoughts are also the act or a process of reflection and reasoning and thinking, or even prevalent opinion an opinion that's prevalent to a given season. And there are a lot of opinions that are flying around about things. We know that this whole corona thing is from the pit of hell. We know it's demonic. We've been praying against it. I'm going to address that in a couple of weeks, of what God is doing through the church during this time in the world. But I want us to go back and understand something. The Bible says, take no thought. Don't pick it up. Don't pick up the negative. Don't get a hold of the things of the natural, but rather keep the thought of God. Get hold of what God's saying. Get hold of God's promises. Get hold of his prophetic declarations, and stand upon the truth of God's word. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. There's a really strong anointing for the word today. This has really stirred in my heart and in my spirit. And I'm believing God to use it to touch you in a powerful way. Like you, I have been inundated with a lot of thoughts I don't want in my head. I don't want them there. There's conspiracy theory. There's all kinds of things in our world that that are talking to us. And I'm sure like you, there's so much on the internet, there's so many videos, there's so many things out there that try to inundate our thoughts. I mean, I've even gotten to the point where breaking news doesn't mean anything anymore, because that's what everybody says. Breaking news. We got breaking news, and it's never good news. It's always something else. And so I want to talk to you today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 11, if you're there. And we're going to talk about spiritual thoughts. Spiritual thoughts and mature thoughts. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, and Paul wrote, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, now I want you to focus on this phrase, when I became a man, I'm going to exegete the scripture for you in just a moment, but he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now watch here. This is very powerful, because putting away childish things means that we have come into a place of spiritual maturity, where we understand that it's the Word of God, it's our faith in the Word of God that gets us, keeps us moving forward all the time. Now remember, the thought, the word thoughts has to do with supposing or making account of or reckoning. But I want you to see this, because mature men and women of God will think on the thoughts of God, which will overrule the things that try to come and dominate us, which are the thoughts of the world. That's why Jesus said, take no thought. Don't let the thought of the media, don't let the thought of the political arena, don't let those things be the thought that runs and rules your life. But let it be the thought of God. Now, let's break this down a little bit further. All right? Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. In other words, I want you to think about this. Think back with me to your childhood, when you were young, and how you thought then compared to how you think now. There's a vast difference between how you thought as a child growing up until now that you're an adult. There's a vast difference in how you think and how you process things. Now, some of us may have been raised in a certain way of processing things, and we come into a certain dimension of thinking that God has to come and change spiritually and renovate our thinking so that we can think according to the things of God. So as a child, you know, we would think in things this way. We would think in terms of assumption. In other words, we assume things. Or we would think about things in observance. All right, as a child grows and what they observe, they begin to think about. What they see, they begin to adapt. What they are aware of around them begins to form the thoughts of their own mind and how they're going to act and whether they're going to obey or not. And even we as parents have got to train our children biblically from very young age, even as children, as babies. Pray over them, read the Word of God to them so that they get the thoughts of God. So when they start coming into those twos and threes that they call the terrible, and they start developing emotions of reaction and whether or not they're going to make a choice to obey, you have already planted seeds in them that are going to help them in their thought processes as a child as they grow. You never can start too young with a child. They also, a child also thinks in reasoning, or in other words, the ability to think on the level of their age. Now, that's what our education system does for our children as well. It educates them to think on a certain level, and we even need to guard the education of our children. See, right now, because we have closed schools, you as parents, I know it's difficult, but you have a great opportunity to train your children on the level of their age spiritually, along with the education they're getting over the internet. And you have the opportunity in your home to tear down any sociological thing that is a lie and build up this kingdom of God in their hearts in your home. That is one powerful thing that has happened in this time of being shut down, is that you are the one that's now influencing your children, and the outside influences are being pushed away so that the Spirit of God can come and bring revival to your house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But now watch. He also said, I understood as a child. In other words, to understand as a child is to exercise the mind. Now, you know, children are going to challenge us as parents. Even adult children challenge us as parents. And we go, I thought I raised you better than that. I thought I spoke this something into your life. You know, we may not say it to them directly, but we certainly think it as parents. Hello, somebody. All right. When they were a child, they understood as a child. They exercised the mind on the level of what they could comprehend. Now, I don't want you to be shocked, but you know what? Young children can comprehend more than you think they can. When they get in the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, like is in this sanctuary this morning, I'll guarantee you that a child can pick up on the presence of the Lord. They know because they are more pure in their heart at younger ages than when we age. And we have to deal with that purity in our own hearts as adults, whereas a child, you teach them that purity. You teach them that understanding. Understanding also means to entertain an opinion. Now, this is powerful because Paul said, when I was a child, I understood as a child. In other words, I may have had the opinion of the world, but when I became a man, when I became a spiritual adult, I took on now the word of God, the opinion of God, which is greater than the opinion of man. He said, I understood like a child. To understand also means to be disposed in a certain direction, or in other words, immaturity. A two-year-old is disposed to two-year-old actions. A three-year-old, a four-year-old, a five-year-old, it changes. A teenager sometimes is disposed sociologically to different actions by the pressures that are put upon their life. But I want you to understand something very powerful here, all right? Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now watch. So he said, I understand as a man, as a child, I understood. I spoke. What came out of my mouth was what I had learned. He said, I spoke as a child. Now, this is really important. You can't expect a three-year-old to speak with a doctoral tone of a professor in college. You can't expect them to use the big words, although some of my boys, when they were little, tried to use the big words. I remember Derek when he was a toddler, and he loved motorcycles. But the way, it was a big word for a toddler, but the word he came up with was Coca-Cycle. That was his big word. I mean, you know, when your kids get to an age and they start saying things to you like, well, actually, mother, and they're still little, you're going, what? Where did that come from? A child is going to speak like a child. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes they're going to be a little defiant because they're going to talk child things. Now, I've been around Pastor Joshua's little boy, Lavelle. And he's how old now? Four or five? 4 years old. He talks so fast I can't understand him. And I have to ask Joshua to interpret for me. What did he say? And I know one thing when he says, Pastor Gale. Pastor Gale. I know what that means. That's Pastor Gale. But when he starts rattling off other things, I've got to look around me for an interpretation because he's still speaking as a child. Come on, are you hearing this? But Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I need to address this because, see, a child thinks immaturely. A child is always thinking about themselves. They are dependent, on mom and dad. They're dependent. And so they're always thinking about me, my stuff, my toy, my... When another child comes into the family, then it's, hey, that's mine. You can't have that. That's my toy. That's my blankie, all right? You can't have my stuff. My mother told me when I was younger, and when I was Man, I had to be a toddler, just a couple years old, when my younger sister was born. And we were all boys, three boys ahead of that younger sister. And my mother said that when they brought my sister home from the hospital, that I went into my room. I don't remember this, but I got my favorite blankie. Anybody got a favorite? I still have a favorite blankie at home. I still have a favorite one, all right? But I got my favorite blankie as a child. And when they brought my sister home from the hospital, I took that favorite blankie and I went in where she was and laid it on her. In an unselfish act of, I welcome my little sister into the family. Well, I thought that's pretty cool. And everybody said, yeah. But the point is, see, a child thinks as a child. A child thinks stubbornly. A child is disobedient. If you're trying to feed them a certain food and they're closing their mouth and puckering the lips and spitting it back out, that's a stubbornness. Some people say stubbornness is inherited from the parents, but it really is it's a natural, it's a carnal thing, all right? Children are rebellious at times. I'm going to do what I want to do, especially when they get into the grade school age and then the junior high and high school. I want to do what I'm going to do. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child, but something had to happen in this life. See, children are also impulsive. How do you know that? And how many understand that they're impulsive? Children are impulsive. I know some adults that are impulsive, but children are impulsive. Suddenly they're doing one thing, and suddenly they're doing another thing, and suddenly something else. And, you know, psychologists tell us it's their attention span. It's the developing of their psyche. Well, that might be part of that, but they're impulsive. But Paul said, now listen to me, because the thoughts of the world, the reason Jesus said, take no thought, is because the devil will try to impress you or to put things into your mind that will cause you to impulsively pick up something that God said you shouldn't pick up in the areas of fear or anxiety or distrust or worry and on and on and on. And Jesus said, don't take that thought, cast that thought down. You're not a child anymore. You're a spiritual son and daughter. You are maturing and growing in God. And God said, when you were a child, you spoke as a child, you thought as a child, you lived like a child, but now that you're a man, now that you're a woman of God, now that you're serving Jesus. Come on. Now that you're a man, that's why the Bible is filled with the man of God this and the woman of God that and this and that and the other, because we grow up into Him spiritually. So when the things are going on in the world and we hear it again, breaking news, we don't think according to the defeat of what we're being filled with. How many of you understand that? That the world's trying to fill our minds as believers with defeat and despair. But we don't pick that up. We pick up the thought of God because we are walking in the Spirit of the Lord. We have become a spiritually mature adults. Even as teenagers and young people, we become spiritually mature in the Lord. And we don't think the way man thinks anymore. We think the way God thinks. Hallelujah. See, man thinks in the natural. Man thinks in decisions. What, where, when, how. That's the way man thinks in the natural. See, man thinks in the natural relationally, connection with persons. I'll tell you, even in the spirit, and I'm so excited to see you next Sunday here and greet you and love on you. I miss you. Hallelujah. But we think relationally. Man thinks relationally. All right? In the natural, all right? And even in the spirit, because the Spirit of God will take, our natural, and He'll make it supernatural. So we think also spiritually in decisions. God, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to respond? Do you want me to buy up all the toilet paper? I just had to throw that in there. But Lord, how do you want me to respond? And spiritually, when we become up, we grow up and we become men and women of God, mature people, we think also in terms the way God thinks, and that is relationally. God created every one of us to have relationship with us. He died, Jesus died to bring every man back into relationship with the Father. He thinks relationally. So we move out of the natural into the spirit, because see, in the spirit, we also think. All right, spiritually, we think in vision. All right, we are visionary people. We are forward thinkers. We are future thinkers. Because God's changed our heart. He puts in us a blessed hope. We're looking for the soon coming and return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a vision that He puts in our heart. He puts a vision to win our families, to win our loved ones, to bring people to Jesus. We are visionary because, you see, spiritually we're thinking eternal. We're thinking beyond this life, not just in this life. See, all this stuff happening is going to come to an end. Will it come to an end before the rapture of the church? I don't know, because the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. We could be raptured out of here in the twinkling of an eye, into the presence of Almighty God. But we think eternal. We're thinking beyond this life. Amen. You know, I'm not, at this point in my life, I'm not thinking about what's going to happen when I come to the end of my life. I've got this thing stirring up inside of me by the Spirit of God that I've got my eyes on eternity. I've got my eyes on the crown. I'm running this race and I'm going to finish it strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got my eyes upon God. And in the middle of all that, then I want to bring everybody with me into the kingdom of God, because there's an eternity to gain and a hell to shun. Hallelujah. We think eternal beyond this life. See, he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish. I put away selfishness. I put away stubbornness. I put away personal satisfaction and impulsiveness, because I became a man of God, a person who serves and loves Jesus and will think the way that God thinks. The way God thinks. Spiritual thinking. Hallelujah. See, God thinks kingdom. Amen. Spiritual mature believers think kingdom. They're kingdom-minded. See, your life isn't about you as a believer. Your life is about the kingdom of heaven. And how many people are you going to influence and bring with you into the kingdom of heaven? Don't take the thought of the devil that says, you're nobody, you're nothing, you can't win anybody to Jesus, you can't bring them into the kingdom. That is a lie. The very reason Jesus lives in you is to speak through you when you don't know what to say, when you're in a situation and somebody's desperate and you can share with them Jesus loves you. I know a healer, I know a deliverer, I know a friend. I know someone who'll stick closer than a brother. I know a Lord. I know a Savior who'll deliver you out of the hand of the enemy, who'll forgive your sins, who will love you with an everlasting love, and who'll bring you into the presence of the Almighty One through eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man of God, a woman of God, serving the Lord, I put away childish things and took on the things of the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want you to see something, because Satan will constantly attack the thoughts in your mind to cause you to fear and cause to be torn down in your life the Word of God till you enter into unbelief and fear. Unbelief and fear. The lie of the devil. That's why Jesus said again, take no thought. Don't pick up the thoughts of the world. Don't pick up the thoughts of the enemy. Pick up the thought of the Word of God. This is the most powerful thought you can think of right here. The most powerful word that you can write right here. Or read right here. The most powerful thing that you can walk in and obey is the Word of the living God. Don't let the devil tear down the thoughts of God that are building in your life. Now, why I want you to watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Because there's a battle for your thoughts. Every adult, every teenager, every junior higher, every middle schooler, every grade schooler, every child, every person who has any heart toward the Lord, the enemy is going to attack with thoughts that are not godly. They're going to come because he wants to displace your thoughts, your spiritual maturity with immaturity. So now let's watch this. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let's pause here for just a moment. A stronghold is anything that is argumentative, all right? It's an argument. Paul goes on to say here it's a high thing. We'll talk about it in a moment. And that has no right to control you. Anything that has no right to come into your life because you have already given God your rights. You have given God the right to work in you. You've given the Spirit of the Lord the right to convict you. When you came into the kingdom of heaven as a child of God and you were born again, you gave up those rights to Jesus so that he could establish his righteousness in your life and help you live spiritually mature in a powerful walk with Almighty God. So he will speak into you, all right? But the devil would try to switch it around and take the thought of God, all right, in a stronghold to try to bind you up. All right, now let's go back to the verse. For the wages or the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty. Somebody say mighty. Mighty. They're mighty in God. Now watch this. Mighty is powerful, stronger, more capable than anything else. So God gives us weapons, which is the Word of the living God, which is mightier and stronger than any other thought or anything that the devil would try to throw against you. All right? Mighty. Mightier. All right? So they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now watch this, all right? Every thought he's talking about is mental perception. If you're already thinking the thought of God, that's the thought you want to dominate. It's when the enemy brings another thought. It's when the enemy brings a negative thought. It's when the devil brings a destructive thought that we've got to cast down. We've got a war against that thought. Spiritual maturity recognizes, hey, this thought is from the enemy. It's not from God. So I'm not going to take that thought because the thought I have is the thought of spiritual power and maturity and overcoming. And I've got a weapon to defeat that thought that is mightier and capable and stronger than any thought the devil would throw at you. Now, thoughts can be destructive. When I was a child growing up I was kind of like the runt of the family. I was small. I was short. I didn't grow till I was in college. I grew about 3 inches or more in college. And I'm not that tall now. And I was always made fun of. I was called names. My father pastored small towns. And so I'm a preacher's kid. Everybody knows the preacher's kid. Everybody knew the preacher's kid was supposed to act a certain way. And I wasn't a rebellious child in that regard. I thank the Lord that he kept me. In fact, I've got a great testimony. The Lord kept me from doing drugs. The Lord kept me from alcohol. The Lord kept me from promiscuity. Now, come on, that's a powerful testimony. I didn't have to experience it to know that God set me free from it. Hallelujah. That's a pure testimony. I really believe that God was keeping me for even this day, for such a day as this. In the purity of the Spirit of the Lord. But now, I was made fun of. I mean, I was called some horrendous names. They would take my name and just slaughter it and call me all kinds of vicious, vulgar things. And I had to fight that as a child. I had to get past that mental image of what they said I was. Because when I would go to my Bible, and I would read the Word of God, I would see that God said, I'm not what they said. I would see that God says, no, you're not what they're saying. You're different from that. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. You're different. And I had to learn to think the thoughts of God. And although my parents taught me the Word of God, I still had to go find out, thus saith the Lord, for my own life. I had to discover it. I had to get the thought of God. I had to get His Word in me, which David said, Lord, Your Word I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That's one of the strongest things. That thought was so strong in my life growing up. God, I don't want to sin against You. I don't want to hurt the Father. And I had to overcome those things. I had to build that into my mind, into my thought patterns. And even in later on in life, the enemy would try to attack me. But see, I was saved and born again at about age 12, baptized in the Holy Spirit. A few years later, I was called into the ministry. I knew in my heart God had called me into full-time ministry. I knew exactly what He wanted me to do, and that was one thing, preach the Word. That's what the call of God was. And I had to answer that. I had to keep that strong in my spirit and alive in my heart and not let anything deter me or keep me from what God said He was going to do through my life. I had to keep that thought. The devil over time would come and try to get me on a different path. He'd try to lie to me and say, "Up, you can't do it." And I remember getting up and this is for somebody. I remember standing before my first congregation, my knees shaking and rattling and scared and frightened. And I don't know if anybody ever noticed it, but I was shaking in my shoes because the devil had lied to me and said, "You're nothing. You can't get up there and proclaim the Word of God. You can't. You just don't have the ability. You're just a little nothing." And I had to overcome that, because every time I stood up to preach the Word of the Lord, I knew that Isaiah 60 said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because..." And I had to take the thought of the Word of the Lord, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Hallelujah. Amen. You can't take the thought of the devil. You've got weapons of warfare to cast those things down by the power of the Spirit. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. Verse 5 says, "Cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." There's so much in our world today that's against the knowledge of God. Just turn your news on. About 100% of what's on the news is against the knowledge of God. And everything that's going on. I want you to know something. God isn't scared, He isn't frightened, and He knows exactly what's going on in the world. And He's pouring out His Spirit because these are the days of the greatest revival on the face of the globe. Hallelujah. Millions of people around the world are becoming born again in every country because it's the entire world. When God said He's going to shake the world, He's shaken the earth. And it's to bring people into a saving knowledge of Jesus. Don't take the thoughts of the enemy, all right? Cast them down. Now let's watch this. Because the thoughts, mental perceptions, and the thoughts are evil purposes. The devil just wants to so inundate us with evil purpose. His evil purposes on the earth that we forget about what God is doing in the earth. And I've got great news for you. God is doing abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that's working inside of us. Get the power working in you. Those thoughts are called arguments and strongholds and high things that have no right to control you whatsoever. And He says, bring them captive. Captivate them. You are not, I'm going to say this, you are not a captive to your environment. You are not a captive to society. I've heard people tell me that, you know, I was just raised this way, I was raised without God, and I guess I'm just a captive to society. But when you become born again, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not captive anymore. You are free. And God gives you the power to bring captive everything that would try to destroy the work of God in your life. You have the power to bring it captive. Imprison it. Make it your slave. That's the promise of the Scripture. Into captivity. You take away the freedom of that thought. This is powerful. When the devil lies to you, you stand up against the enemy and take away the power of that thought by the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. You conquer it. You imprison it and tell it, you are not free to work in my life. You are not free to come against my mind. Because I have the mind of Christ. You are not free to attack me at will. Because I have the blood of Jesus that surrounds me and covers me. And I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout glory to God right now. Hallelujah. Take it captive. It's now your slave. What you've got to understand was that thought that the enemy brought was a thought against the law of Christ. Now watch this. You cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because when you are living by the law of God, the devil is going to challenge the law of God in your life. He's going to challenge the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit by which you live. He will challenge it. But I've got good news for you. You've got a weapon that's mightier and stronger than any other thought. And Jesus said, don't take those thoughts of the enemy because you have the thought of God. You've got the word of the Lord. You've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you begin to cast them aside and bring captive every argument, every stronghold, and imprison it because Jesus has given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And you can lock away the power of the enemy not to harm you ever again in Jesus' name. I want you, if you would, right now, I've got a lot more to share, but next week, when we get together here, next week, take no thought. Close your eyes with me in your homes or where, if you're driving and listening to this, keep your eyes open. or pull over to the side of the road. But I want you to know that there's a God in heaven who loves you, who sent his son Jesus to die for you, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, taking every sin and shame and even your healing and your depression and your addictions and your bondages to the cross. And he nailed them there. And his blood still gives freedom and life. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. So those here, you repeat what I pray as we're praying right now in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Say, Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to take my place so that I can have eternal life in you. Your word says that if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right now, Father, I invite Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and setting me free. From this day forward, I belong to you. I am your child, and I won't take the thought of the enemy because I've got the thought of the Word of God that has all authority and all power in heaven and earth. I thank you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to get on the website, and there's a card that says, I accepted Jesus today. I gave my life back to Jesus. I returned. I rededicated. Go fill that out and let us know that Jesus, you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God.